Here we go now, baby. We're right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Before You Bet right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. We're absolutely scrambling behind the scenes here. 2 minutes before I go live, my audio F's up. But I'm a real pro of this industry, so I figured it out. Not as easy as we make it look here at Covers. Great work behind the scenes. Shout out to producer Mick, by the way. Lots of great work from him. So great big show planned for you guys today. Finally, we got a big time Thursday night football game. Bengals Ravens, looking forward to that one. We have four total bets for that one. We will be discussing the biggest college football games of the weekend and two games in the NBA tonight. Three pretty good betting opportunities tonight in the association. Okay, let's get rolling right into my first guest of the day in his traditional spot here on Thursdays. Let's see that smile. There we go. That is what the people come for. There we go. Okay, guys, if you're in the live chat right now, let us know what your best bets are here. Jingles, we'll get into yours here momentarily. But first, I have to ask, how are you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you, Joe. Life is good. Heading down Pittsburgh way next weekend with the boys for the American Thanksgiving extravaganza. Going to go catch Leafs, Pens. Should be a good trip of 8 40-year-old men in a Winnebago going down to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you guys will be very hungover, I'm guessing, from my experience as I've grown older. The alcohol hits me harder. But yeah, okay, that's enough hockey talk for now, except I will say the championship window is still very much open for the Pittsburgh Penguins. We will see once we get into the playoffs. We're going to get off the rails here, so let's get into the picks here, Jingles. I'll hit lead off for us. My best bet for the game, I got three. My favorite bet for the game, I like the Ravens to cover the first half spread, -2.5 points, -112. So Baltimore's defense, they're allowing 5.4 first half points per game. That's the best in the NFL, and that's led them to an 8-2 first half ATS record. Meanwhile, the Bengals, slow starts for them on the road. Their defense is 25th in first half points allowed with 14.5. The Ravens do let some games slip away in the second half, as we saw last week versus the Browns. So I think this is the much safer play. And what is the path to victory for this bet? Well, we have a major defensive gap favoring Baltimore in this one. First versus 31st in yards allowed per play. I think Baltimore is going to be able to get up and down the field however they want in this one. They are top five in both yards per pass and yards per rush attempt. Bengals, bottom three, surprisingly, in each of those categories. Flying under the radar, how bad the Bengals' defense has been. Also really bad on third down. So I like the Ravens to take care of business in the first half, -2.5 points. Okay, Jingles, your best bet for this game. What are you looking at?
There's been a lot of noise about Keaton Mitchell, obviously, going into this game following the loss last week. Harbaugh was mentioning his regrets about not getting him involved. It's blown up his rushing market that was, I believe, was at 22.5 last week. It's gone to 37.5. We might be hitting a buy point for his under here just because of the rushing opportunities and how crowded this backfield is. But the inefficient market, if you're looking to take Harbaugh's words at what they are and think that he'll get involved in this game, look for him to get involved in the passing game. He's more of a between the 20s back here. So like this over 8.5 receiving yards. It's a pretty inefficient market. It hasn't moved much. His rushing markets, like I said, they've just gone so much. This is a great pivot. The role in the passing game is growing. He has a 40% target share on his routes. He hasn't run a lot. He hasn't even played a lot of snaps. The guy only has 12 rushes on the season, and everyone's out here banging his overs. I get it. He has 4 carries of over 10 yards, 3 carries over 30 yards. Probably not going to sustain that rate, but what he can do is get involved in this passing game. And we can see, we've seen him, I don't know, 37 yards last week in the passing game. This is an easy one and done if he can get out in space. And like I said, everybody's on the train. Maybe this is the market to hit as opposed to everybody hitting his over rushing, which has grown significantly.
Okay, more props here. I have two. I usually only give out two bets for the Thursday night football game, but I like three, so we're going to give them all out here. Let's start with Lamar Jackson. I like him to go over his rushing yard total of 45.5, -115 on that one. So he has topped this number And four straight versus the Bengals. He loves to take off against these guys. 12 carries for 54 yards earlier this season. He had a 58 last season. Also an 88 and a 97 in there as well. Bengals have allowed the six most rushing yards to quarterbacks this season, having a hard time containing the running quarterback. And he just needs to be average. Lamar is averaging 48.1 rushing yards per game. This number 45 and a half. I like him to go over that one. And for my other prop, I like Mark Andrews to go over his receiving yard total of 56 and a half. The Bengals getting torched by tight ends this season. 66.8 receiving yards allowed per game to tight ends. That's one of the worst in the NFL. Andrews is averaging 63 receiving yards per game over his last seven. Lots of big chunk plays for this guy. 8 catches of 20 or more yards. And he's had some pretty big games against the Bengals. He 73 or more receiving yards in 3 of his last 5 games against them. So I like Andrews to fill up that stat sheet. And we will bring in Jingles. Last pick of the show. But this one, we always get your best bet for Sunday. What are you looking at?
Do love the Lamar play there. The blitz is on it as well. Someone there in the chat saying Lamar anytime TD. Best price plus 170 at FanDuel. That's probably, I don't know, probably 150 buy point there, I would assume. But let's go to Buffalo. I mean, let's just keep fading the Bills here. Team total under 23.5 plus 105. I mean, it's a 40-point total game to begin with. The move from Dorsey to Joe Brady is it's a possible downgrade. It's lateral at best, I think. Brady's track record, LSU, he had Joe Burrow, he had Ja'Marr Chase, he had Justin Jefferson. He got canned midseason in Carolina. And so far, Josh Allen has not looked good this year. And guess the differences between this year and last year is Joe Brady behind the scenes as his QB coach. Now he jumps into the OC. Don't see how this offense gets going, especially versus the number one defense in football in EPA per play and success rate since week 5. Sorry. And this is also a Jets team that had a closed door players only meeting last week following the loss. They're going to be motivated and they can't give up points. They know that they have to give it all because Zach Wilson and that offense just can't score. We should see this number, I think, fall, especially once Friday, Saturday, and the weather report gets a little closer. 17, 16 mile an hour winds, possible chance of rain. If we do see that rain, we could see the under take a little money, also affecting Buffalo team total, but I like being on the other side of 23.5 plus money. Don't forget Buffalo. There's talk about why Buffalo is one of the slowest teams in all of football, 30th in pace of play, kind of protecting that defense that, I mean, no one's talking about it, but maybe they miss Leslie Frazier more than people agree, because that defense is stinking.
Yeah, I love the under in that game as a whole. I expect to be touching on that on tomorrow's edition of Before You Bet. A little bit of a teaser for you guys there. But yeah, the Jets defense has done a fantastic job against Josh Allen the past couple of seasons. Just look back to week 1 of this past season. Okay, Jingles, we will leave it at that. But before you get going, let the good people know what you have going on over at Covers.com and here on the Covers YouTube channel this week.
Live hockey releases Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, 10 a.m. With Carlo Colaiacco, a former player, right now doing my 10-10-100-100 challenge, the leading up to Thursday. Got 7 plays on the go today, digging some Scotland. We got Euro action. We got some afternoon hockey in Sweden on the go today, a full slate of bets to sweat, and hopefully a little squad ride wins.
Indeed. All right, my man. Thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck with your bets, and we'll catch you again next week.
Appreciate it, Joe. Take care.
Yes, sir. Okay, let's shift gears over to college football, where we go down to sunny Las Vegas. Our guy, Brad Powers. Brad, 5 different bets to discuss here, but I got to ask you first. In sunny Las Vegas there, of course, F1, the big race going on this weekend. I'm seeing nothing but complaints. Is this the shit show that's being made out to be?
It is. And I'll start with sunny Las Vegas. Not sunny this week for a change. First time in 6 weeks, we got rain last night. It's overcast right now. Looks gloomy. There's supposed to be rain for the weekend. So that's number one. Number two, traffic. It's been an absolute nightmare getting around the strip for several weeks, if not months. No one really likes it. The ticket prices, the hotel prices are coming considerably down. So if you want to come and see it, It's very cost efficient now where it wasn't 2-3 months ago if you're trying to get a ticket to this event. Nobody really cares. It's a 10 o'clock start time local time here. So if we don't care at 10 o'clock, you think anybody cares in New York City at 1 a.m. Where the race is going to start? It should be a one and done. And I know there's reports that they signed a 10-year contract. I hope the hell not. I won't be here for all of it. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, the idea of it, I understand once it first came up was kind of fun, but the execution seems like an absolute nightmare. Okay, let's get into these picks here, Brad. So if you guys missed Monday's show for best bets, Brad gave out Auburn to cover -22, Texas Tech -2.5, and Utah State +3.5. We're going to add a couple of best bets to those ones. You can catch that replay if you want to catch Brad's analysis. That's up here on the Covers YouTube channel, by the way. So let's start with Minnesota, Ohio State. Ohio State is a massive favorite, 27.5 points. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, give me Minnesota. It's the ultimate look-ahead spot. I mean, the Buckeyes, last I checked, have the biggest game of the year on deck against Michigan. It's also an Ohio State offense that obviously isn't as good as what they've been in years past. It's tough for them to get margin. They've only gotten margin like this 3 times this year. And I think Minnesota's the ultimate buy-low spot. This is a team that's lost outright as a favorite each of the last 2 weeks. I think that they'll play with a little bit more of a chip on their shoulder. I certainly hope so. And also slow tempo for both teams. So when you got slow tempo, it's tough to cover 4 touchdowns here. And what's the motivation for margin for the Buckeyes? Second, if they're up, I mean, they got Michigan on deck. Let's get our players out. Let's get them healthy. And let's get the game on for next week.
Okay, next, maybe a little bit of an under-the-radar spot here. We have Old Dominion as a 6-point dog taking on Georgia Southern. What do you think for this matchup?
So let's just start basic statistics. I mean, Old Dominion, much better team in yards per play margin, despite playing a much tougher schedule than Georgia Southern. That really, at this point in the season, raises my eyebrows a little bit. Plus, in the fact it's been tough to get margin on Old Dominion. This is a team lost by 3 to Wake Forest, lost by 3 to that unbeaten, really good James Madison team, lost, you know, in the final seconds by 4 to Coastal Carolina. These are all teams that are a little bit better than Georgia Southern, who's laying, 6 points here. And I also don't like the trend line on Georgia Southern right now. This is a team that, you know, got dominated by Texas State. The market hated them. And then last week against a backup quarterback in Marshall, they lose outright as a favorite. Give me ODU here. And sprinkle a little bit on the money line. I think they're live.
Oh, there we go. Okay, let's touch on some of the bigger games of the weekend. We'll start with Kansas State and Kansas. 8-point spread favoring Kansas State. Do you like the favorite or do you like the underdog here?
Two reasons why I like Kansas State here, my SCA. Number one, let's talk series history. Kansas State has dominated the series. 14 in a row wins. They've covered 11 to 14, and this is one of the shortest spreads during that time frame. Number two, and most important, pertinent to this year's matchup, I'm really worried about the Kansas quarterback situation. Jason Bean, already the backup. He's been playing a lot, and he's been playing well. Got KO'd in last week's game. Got KO'd twice. Got hit in the head, came back, then his head bounced off the turf. Now, they're saying he's going to play and optimistic, but in today's day and age, I'm more pessimistic when it comes to that. So at the very least, if he does play, I don't think you're seeing quarterback run game as much as you typically do there. So I think advantage Kansas State in that regard.
Okay, so you like Kansas State. Next up, we have Tennessee taking on Georgia. Georgia favored by 10.5 points in this one. Do you think Tennessee can challenge them?
Boy, if you just watched last week's games, you would say, hell no. But you know what? I like 10 data points, not just one. So I think it's the ultimate sell high, buy low. Georgia off their best performance of the season. We're going to fade that, although you got to be impressed with what you saw. And then we're going to buy low on Tennessee off their worst performance of the season, getting crushed by Missouri. This game, you could bet all year, literally, like starting in the spring and then all during the season at multiple sports books. And it was consistently Georgia favored by 7, 7.5, 8 points. And now all of a sudden, because of one data point for each team, so now you're trading above 10, not buying it. Give me the hook on the home underdog here, who plays much better at home than they do on the road.
Okay, let's wrap with Oregon State, Washington. This looks like a fun game. Oregon State is the 2.5-point favorite. What do you think for this game?
Yeah, let's just let the market tell you what the right side is. It's Oregon State. You got the team that's laying points against the undefeated, 10-0, top 5 team in the country. Washington's fraudulent to me. 6 straight wins by 10 points or less. Oregon State, again, a team that's played significantly better at home this year than on the road. Beavers for me, let's lay the 2.5.
Okay, Brad, let's wrap with a question from the live chat here. If you don't have an answer, that's okay, because we're putting you on the spot. But Matthew Wingham, he was in before the show went to air. So he really wants an answer here, I guess. So for Brad, looking at some future matchup, your thoughts on Michigan -6 over Ohio State, and what to make, what would you make the spread for a potential Pac-12 championship between Oregon and Washington?
Yeah, I like Michigan on that 6-point spread. I made it 7, so we're talking about a key number. I bet in the futures markets, Michigan -5.5. Bet that this week. So, and yeah, anything under 7, I'm laying it with Michigan. As far as the Pac-12 championship game, I make Oregon about 6.5. That's where the game's getting traded at, certainly in the markets at a couple of sports books right now. So no bet there.
There we go. We put the guy on the spot. He gives us a crystal clear answer. You got to love that. Okay, Brad, we will leave it at that. Thanks again for joining us. Best of luck with those bets this weekend, and we will catch you again on Monday.
All right. Take care, guys.
Yes, sir. Okay. We shift gears again into the third segment of the show. We will get into some NBA now. Let's bring in our guy, John Mettler, NBA analyst from Sportsbook Review. Absolutely cleaning up for us, John. How we doing today?
Good, Ario.
I'm good. So, John, we got to talk in-season tournament. Nobody loves the in-season tournament like John Mettler. Like, a lot of people are kind of down on it. A lot of people don't get it. But John's coming up with betting angles left and right for this thing. And you were telling me before we went to air that you actually placed a futures bet on, I think it was the Phoenix Suns,
you said, Suns.
Win the whole thing. Break that down for us. Why do you like them?
Yeah, I grabbed the Suns this morning at +3,200 on FanDuel. So the way the in-season tournament works is you win your group. So three teams that win the group, they'll move on. And then one second place team in those groups from each conference, so one wild card, gets to move on. So basically the way it's going to come down to is it's going to be a bunch of ties at 3-1. You got to get to 3-1, I would assume, to even be in consideration for that. And then it's going to come down to point differential. So the Suns were kind of like in that +1,200, +1,000 range when the in-season tournament started. They opened the tournament with a loss, so they're 0-1. So they've been pushed back quite a bit here in the odds. But when you look at the Suns, they're playing against their next three games in this tournament are against the Trailblazers, the Utah Jazz, and the Memphis Grizzlies. So when you come down to can they win all three? Yes. Bradley Beal and Devin Booker all three of them were supposed to play yesterday. They didn't. Beal woke up with back ailments again. I'm assuming he will play on Friday. So you're coming in, they need to win three games. They're three very winnable games. They're going to have their whole team for the very first time. But I think the key, not only can they win all three of those games, I think they have three opportunities to really increase their point differential. And if you go look at the other two groups in the Western Conference, that's not really the case for anyone else. So maybe they only beat the Trailblazers by 5, but then they can blow up the Grizzlies. And nobody else really has those like multiple, I wouldn't say easy games, no game's easy, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all based on records from last year, and the Grizzlies are the complete opposite of last year. So that makes their group look a lot easier for them.
Yeah, all the big dogs back for the Suns. Perhaps a little bit of an inefficient market there, the in-season tournament futures odds.
Yeah, they've had a hard time. I think they've been really slow to post them after the games are played. I think they're having a hard time kind of working in the tiebreakers, because even the Clippers, when they went down 0-1, they lost their first game, but they lost by like 20. They're still trading at 16-1. I'm like, they're not eliminated, but like basically you're 0-1. You're going to have to be 3-1, and then it's going to be point differential, and you're already -20. So you can't be 16-1 at that point. So I think they're having a hard time kind of working in those tiebreakers into how they trade these teams, and that's why I like the Suns.
Yeah, not factoring in that the Clippers are a complete total joke. Okay, John, three best bets for tonight. I have two. You have one. I'll get us started. I'm going to take the Brooklyn Nets +3.5 in Miami, taking on the Heat, coming in at -110 on that one. So Brooklyn, better than Miami in many key areas this season, most notably EFG percentage and opponent EFG percentage. Brooklyn in the top 9 in each category. Stop sleeping on the Nets. They've had Miami's number 5 straight wins against them. This includes a 4-point win earlier this season and a 29-point win at the tail end of last season in Miami. And yes, Bam and Butler were active for both of those games. And the Heat, this trend, I've been playing this one since last season. They are awful in the spot as a home favorite. They are 14-30-2 against the spread as a home favorite since the start of last season. That is the second worst mark in the NBA. That includes going 0-4 ATS as a home favorite this season. And the Nets, by the way, 9-1-1 against spread so far this season. This is a team that plays in a lot of tight games. The Miami Heat are a team that plays in a lot of tight games. I expect another one tonight. Nets might win outright, but I at least expect them to cover that number +3.5. John, you have a prop that you like for this game. Who are we looking at?
Yeah, it's coming from the same game. I agree with you too. I like the Nets. I've enjoyed watching the Nets on League Pass. A lot of shooters. It's a lot of fun to watch. But my prop is Kyle Lowry over 4.5 assists. So -110 was the best price when we made this graphic. You can find -105 now. It's kind of been moving all over the place all morning. So a couple of things. If you go look at Kyle Lowry's box scores and you're thinking of tailing this bet, you're probably going to be like, no, I'm not interested anymore. But I'll explain further. So when they just played the Nets a couple of weeks ago and Kyle Lowry had 3 assists. So that's obviously not something people are interested in going over 4.5 when they see that. But Lowry had 11 potential assists in that game. And usually potential assists convert at like a 45% to 55% rate. So 11 potential assists is good enough to get you over 4.5. He also did that with Tyler Hero in the lineup. And Tyler Hero is not playing tonight. He's injured. He has a sprained ankle. So this puts Lowry on the ball a lot more. So when you think of Tyler Hero was dominating the ball in that game and Lowry still managed 11 potential assists against the Nets, now we have Kyle Lowry as the primary ball handler tonight. And it's over 4.5. It all kind of works into there. Also, last game, he only played 15 minutes. It's not because he fell out of the rotation. It's not because Eric Spoelstra hates him. He had 3 fouls in the first 2 minutes instead of the whole first half. It was just bad luck. If anything, Spoelstra trusts him because he kept him in with 2 fouls to play the rest of the game, and then he got his 3rd foul. So it's kind of the opposite of what it looks like in a box score, so I wouldn't let that scare you at all either, that he only played 15 minutes last game. Yeah, the price has been moving. I have a price at -133, so -110 is good. There is a -105. I think it was DraftKings BetMGM when I came on here. You might be able to catch a plus money on Bet Rivers. They've kind of been all over the place trading this. I'm not sure if that's completely gone. It might come back. We'll see. But -105 is the best price right now.
I had Kyle Lowry last season. I think the prop was over 11.5 points, something along those lines. He had 11 points, and then he got kicked out of the game in the 3rd quarter. It absolutely sucks. That is a stinger. I know the idea of refunding bets to bettors on stuff like that is controversial. That's one they should refund people for. Okay, last bet of the show here. That is very controversial. People don't like it for some reason. We're in the sports books. Refund bad beat insurance. Who knows? We won't discuss that on today's show, though. Final bet of the show today. This one looks like the bargain of the season so far in the NBA. The Thunder -2 in Golden State versus the Warriors. This matchup isn't very close at all, especially no Steph Curry. He's been ruled out. No Draymond Green. The Warriors are getting way too much respect with this number. Massive dip in player production after Steph this season. Klay and Wiggins aren't even averaging 25 combined points per game between them. Major offense advantage for the Thunder in this one, 6th versus 24th in EFG percentage. And that 24 in EFG percentage for the Warriors, that's with Steph Curry for most of those games. They are on a 1-5 slide. Golden State is dead last in EFG shooting percentage in that span. I think that's something OKC can take advantage of because the Thunder have been great on the defensive end to start the season. 2nd in opponent EFG percentage. They're forcing a lot of turnovers. They have been strong against the 3. And most importantly, John, this is a revenge game for the Thunder. The Warriors beat them last time out. That's not really a factor. I do like it, though, when people are giving their analysis for a game and say, this is a revenge game. So who knows? Maybe they'll be up for this one a little bit. But we will leave it at that, John. We're going to have a much bigger board to discuss for Friday's game. So we look forward to having you on then. But until then, best of luck with your bets. And thanks again for joining us.
Sounds good. In-season tournament tomorrow. So that'll be fun.
There we go. Yeah, indeed. In-season tournament, what I do kind of like about that, how they factor point margin into like the tiebreaker, it gives teams less incentive to take their foot off the gas. How often do you see the teams up by 15 points in the 4th quarter and they yank all their best players out? So if you like player prop overs, I think you get not necessarily an edge, but you don't necessarily have to worry so much about the guys getting yanked early if the team has a big lead. Okay, that does it for the show. Let's recap the NFL picks off the top of the show. Fun Thursday nighter tonight. I have 3 bets for it. I like the Ravens to cover that first half number, 2.5. I like Lamar to go over his rushing yard total. I like Mark Andrews to go over his receiving yard total. And Jingles join us, of course. Under the radar, sneaky little play. I love these running back receiving yard bets. He likes over 8.5 for Mitchell. And his favorite bet for Sunday, he likes the Bills to go under their team total, 23.5. They made a total scapegoat of their offensive coordinator. Was it his fault? There was 12 guys on the field for that game-ending field goal. Did he send the 12th man out? Absolutely not. So I don't like that, what they did to Ken Dorsey. Not that he was doing a great job, I guess, but they turned him to a scapegoat. Never, probably not a good sign. Their championship window might be closed for now with the Buffalo Bills. We will leave it at that. A bit of a quick show today, in and out, but we will be right back tomorrow, the Big Friday show. So make sure you tune in then, same time, same place. If you like the show, it's easy to let us know. Hit that like button right down there. Hit that subscribe button right down there. Lots of great content here on the Covers YouTube channel. Best of luck with your bets tonight. We'll catch you tomorrow.